Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Windows Report podcast here at searchwindowsserver.com. I'm Brendan Knoyer, senior site editor with TechTarget, and today it's December, so it's a good time to sort of take a look back at the year that was in IT and also take a look ahead at what's to come in 2011. We're joined today by Jonathan Hassel. John has authored books such as Windows Server 2008, The Definitive Guide, among others, to go along with several articles you can find on searchwindowsserver.com. He's also a consultant and president of the Sun Valley Group based in North Carolina and thus tragically a big Carolina Panthers fan. John, how are you doing?
I'm doing all right. Thanks for having me.
Fantastic. So we talked last year around this time, and we did sort of a similar theme. So let's kind of first just kind of look back at 2010. I think if you had to use one word to sum up 2010 in the world of IT, it would be pretty easy to do. It's been quite a journey, I'd say, as far as cloud computing, especially from like a vendor standpoint in the past year, wouldn't you say?
I would agree with that, yeah. Cloud seems to be the new operating mantra for most companies.
Yeah, and it's funny, too, because at this time last year, we were still kind of talking about the cloud and sort of like hypotheticals, even though Azure was set to come out and everything like that. But Microsoft and many of the other vendors have really been leading the charge. I think Rod Schrent from IT Forum tweeted a few months ago, and I blogged about this, that it seemed like every IT conference this year was turning into a cloud conference. And certainly, if you went to MMS, TechEd, or any Microsoft show, that definitely seemed to be the case, wouldn't you say?
I would, yeah. I was at TechEd this year, and the theme there was we're all in. And, you know, you couldn't go really anywhere without seeing the cloud theme. They're trying to point Microsoft, at least, is trying to point people towards Azure as sort of a catch-all, and saying that if you're anywhere from the smallest business, to even an individual, all the way up to a huge enterprise, that Azure has something to offer you. So the cloud is really where the future is. I'm not sure that's necessarily 100% true, but it certainly seems to have struck a chord with a lot of people.
Well, that's what's sort of interesting is because I've kind of maintained for a good part of the year that a lot of the cloud talk was either A, from the vendors who have to talk about it because you can't be the only one that's not talking about it,
right.
But B, people who just really like to talk about cloud. But I mean, do you think like the average IT, average Joe IT admin and manager? Do you think their viewpoints have changed in the past year? Because I would also get the sense that, they were listening to this stuff and they found it interesting. But at the same time, they kind of, especially at these shows, would rather hear more about, some of the Windows Server and other technologies that they're actually using right now. And it was, I think there was a feeling that some of that was a little overshadowed this year by the new stuff that's coming out.
Well, I think you're exactly right. In fact, I was just talking with someone yesterday about this. Organizations have got all sorts of investments. The products that Microsoft and other companies have put out for years. And so to kind of hear these vendors go whole hog into this cloud talk, I don't think it's really representative of the reality of how these shops are maintaining their systems, And it's easy to say the cloud is, the shiny new thing that everyone has to embrace. But at the same time, business goes on and you can't just reinvent a complete IT model overnight. And it seems like that's kind of the push, or at least that's the way it's been coming across. So I think you're right. That these businesses have such an investment in on-premise infrastructure that it would take years for any of that to move into the cloud if it was even a good option for them. So I think over the past year, you found that administrators and CIOs are looking more closely at the cloud. They're saying, yeah, this makes sense for some things, not as much for others, but they're not committing 100% to moving toward the cloud. That's just my impression of talking with people being at the conferences. I was talking with people at TechEd. Really, it's exactly as you said. Where's the information on what I already have? Cloud is great. It's great for me as a writer because I can come up with all these witty headlines.
Right.
Forecast is cloudy or whatever. But, you talk with these people and they say, cloud is great, but where's the info of what I have? I've still got to support 180 servers. I've still got to run mail for now. I can look toward the future, and that's great. But what about what do I do in the next 6 months?
Well, there's also the flip side of that, too, which seems, Microsoft's strategy has also, to their credit, been to kind of take those familiar products that people are using and make that be sort of the kind of extend those things into the cloud with the Exchange services and the SharePoint services, a lot of new functionality added to System Center. That seems like at least a good strategy to kind of like bridge the gap between what people are doing now and what they're going to be doing in the future, I think.
Yeah, I'd agree with that too. And you've recently seen, at least as recently as PDC a couple of months ago, the new Azure stuff that lets administrators create virtual machines in their own environments and then upload them to Azure. That's a definite, more granular level of control that wasn't available in the first initial releases of Azure. So that's, you're starting to see Microsoft addressing those concerns and saying, we know people want to get their feet wet in this. We don't, but we're understanding the hesitation to move wholesale to this new environment. So we're going to start releasing some tools that allow people to get a flavor, a taste of what it's going to be like to have Azure integrated throughout the organization.
Right. And the services that they have, I mean, those aren't necessarily new. I mean, the Exchange Online Services has been around for a bit now. And Microsoft rebranded all of that recently to Office 365, which just from kind of looking around at people's reactions on the web, Microsoft gets criticized sometimes about just having really complicated or confusing ways of branding their products. And people seem to like the unified branding of the Office 365 platform now that kind of takes in all those online services with Exchange and SharePoint that was previously BPOS. In some areas, it's still called BPOS. But that seems to be a step in the right direction. It seems to be something that's a little more tangible, I think, for folks right now, especially small businesses.
Oh, well, you might feel that way. I still think it's confusing as hell. I mean, what you've got Exchange Online, you've got SharePoint Online, you've got BPOS, you've got deskless BPOS, you've got Office 365, which I don't think you can get yet. You've got pieces of each that go into everything. So, yeah, I guess in the end, once things are rebranded completely and the products are aligned under their new umbrellas, it'll be a nice big panacea. But for now, I just want, if you go to a service provider, you say, I want to run my mail in the cloud, I want to use Exchange, and I want to use the Microsoft one, they can sell you three different products, and you still have no idea what you're buying. So I'm not sure they've really arrived at their successful conclusion with that, but maybe it is a step in the right direction.
Yeah, maybe it'll take some time. I mean, it took some time when they rebranded like Moss and SMS under System Center and had that stuff. But then they've also kind of complicated that now with the System Center Opalis and how that fits in. And even Service Manager, which seemed like it took about 20 years to finally come out, came out this year. And then, which was funny because it came out and it took so long to develop. And then I kind of didn't hear much about it after that, even though apparently the SP1 is coming out tomorrow. But maybe it'll take some time along those lines. That's kind of how it seems a little bit similar as far as branding goes, I guess.
Sure. And products in that space, they're targeted at larger businesses, and they don't really move very fast either. So
right.
The adoption cycle for those products and those organizations and those scenarios is definitely much slower than, say, on the consumer side.
Right.
But that's an interesting point about what the cloud could do for a larger business, because much of the advantage of moving to the cloud is being able to, process updates, upgrades, and, not have to have a full testing path, and, not being perpetually 3 years behind the curve of the latest and greatest.
Mm-hmm.
So that could be appealing for some shops, if you've got an application, you're moving to Azure, or you're ready to outsource your mail to the cloud, which is probably one of the only 100% cloud-ready solutions there is right now. But if you're ready to move to Office 365 or, another VAR that supports Microsoft Exchange, then you can take advantage of, the upgrades to Exchange 2010, Service Pack 1, Service Pack 2 is coming in a few months.
Mm-hmm.
You get to experience more of that sooner than you would, and you also can offload the support costs. So that's definitely one of the advantages, and I think that's really what's interesting enterprises about the cloud in general and moving applications and services out to the cloud.
Well, it's definitely going to be interesting to see what happens next year as that message continues to get pounded away at some of these shows. But let's talk a little bit about next year, about 2011. On a non-cloud front, the first thing for enterprises is that the Service Pack 1 is, even though it seems like it's also been in beta forever, is finally expected to come out early in Q1 for Windows 7 and Windows Server 2008 R2. Usually this first service pack is kind of considered the maturity benchmark for some of these systems, and that's when people, you know, upgrades and migrations usually start to pick up a little bit. But do you think that that's something that could have more of an effect on Windows 7 than R2, based on what you've seen? It seems like R2 is actually pretty popular already. We have some survey data which, for the first time in years, Windows Server 2003 wasn't the most popularly deployed system as far as respondents goes. R2 was. Have you noticed that R2's been pretty popular with people in the past year?
Yeah, absolutely. R2 is bulletproof. It's the best of everything, really. Microsoft really got it right with that release. So I in some ways, R2 is kind of like the first service pack for Server 2008. So I think that was the technical milestone that people were waiting for. And especially with, you know, companies skipping over Vista, XP end of lifing, they're looking at the story of how Windows 7 and 2008 R2 play better together. So I think that's driving a lot of enhanced upgrades right now and accelerated upgrades to the R2 platform.
And one of the big features with the SP1 has been the dynamic memory for Hyper-V virtualization. And I blogged about this the other day, where it seems like, you know, the news came out about that in like the spring. It was a memory allocation, comparing it basically to VMware's memory over commit. And it just seems like old news already. It's already been established that it's not the same feature. It doesn't work exactly the same. Microsoft has come out and said, you know, well, it's just two companies with, going at the same goal from different places. It seems like it should be out by now, I guess, the service pack. But that's been the big blowout feature. But it is an important feature to add, and it's interesting because Microsoft for a long time has kicked back against the over allocation of memory as having some performance problems and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's kind of an interesting inclusion, and you can certainly see them trying to go toe-to-toe with VMware to a lesser extent to Xen and other hypervisor platform providers. But, Hyper-V is definitely, I think, for shops that are just getting started with virtualization or already have a ton of, you know, Microsoft investments and Windows Server investments, Hyper-V is almost unquestionably the way to go for those types of things. So I'm not sure that taking this long to release that feature is really hampering adoption of Hyper-V overall. It's surely annoying for some people that are really depending on that feature. And you're right. You know, for having been talking about it since March or April of last year, it seems like kind of underwhelming that it's only coming first quarter of next year. But, largely, I think that people are satisfied with Hyper-V, and they're probably not going to find that to be a big loss.
And then also we were talking about this is going to be SP1 for both R2 and Windows 7. And also Microsoft, you know, we have the Windows 7 phone now, Windows Phone 7. Is it Windows 7 phone or Windows Phone 7? I can never remember.
I think it's Windows Phone 7.
Okay, that's a nice
one. But what they need to make it System Center Windows Phone 7 365.
There you go.
Office. Yeah.
That would be the ultimate unified branding. Everyone, no one could complain about that.
Right, with a code name. that's much cooler.
Definitely. Yeah. That's gotten some negative press. I mean, that's also not surprising that, you know, when Microsoft finally releases the smartphone to go up against, the Apples of the world and the Droids, I think there is a sense that some people are going to be inclined to knock them immediately. But, you know, there's been some stories that the Windows 7 phone hasn't really sold as much as people thought, and it's not going to be a real challenge to iPhone and BlackBerry in the enterprise in 2011. I mean, what are your thoughts on that? Have you had a chance to kind of check out the phone at all?
Well, actually, I bought one on Sunday.
Oh, my great.
My 6.5 phone broke, and that thing was a piece of crap anyway. So I was happy to try something else out. I guess, you know, from a holistic standpoint, you look at the brouhaha over Microsoft not talking about sales numbers, and you know, the pundits kind of shellacking it a little bit. And Android started out slow because the world said, okay, we've got iPhones and we've got BlackBerry. So what's Android going to offer me? So, and you see that curve of sales ramp up. So they're doing, you know, a million devices now in some short amount of time. I don't have the exact number in front of me, but Android started slow and it grew to be very popular. I think it might have eclipsed iPhone now. And you look at the iPhone, and the only reason that was so successful, I think, and this is, you know, I'm probably going to get emailed about this, but it's the reality distortion field around Apple. If you compare iPhone to the feature set that the Windows Phone 7 has. They're very, very comparable. And I know that you can't say that, you know, I'm releasing a phone today competing against the iPhone 2 revs ago. That's not really fair. But new platforms and complete rewrites of a mobile operating system take time to catch on. So I think the phone itself is really compelling. I've had a really good time playing with mine. Seems to be able to do all of the different things that I need to do on the go. You know, the email experience is just light years better than what I had on my 6.5 phone. What kind of phone do you have, by the way?
I have an iPhone. I have an iPhone myself.
Okay. Well, I should have known. But it's interesting because, you know, you walk around with it and you play with it with the touch screen, and it really feels a lot like the iPhone experience. I had an iPhone for, I don't know, 6 months or so, and then dropped it and broke the screen. That was the end of the Apple experience for me. They're really expensive to fix, too. But I think some of the criticism is fair, and some of it's really unfair. And it seems like it's really tough for me to understand how people can form such strong opinions about a phone they've never played with before.
Right. Well, I read I read it yesterday where someone ranked like the top five things Microsoft needs to do to Windows Phone 7. And the first one was cut and paste. They needed to add cut and paste functionality, which I guess is coming in February. And but that's like seems to me like something like it's cut and paste. You know, they'll add that eventually. It seemed strange to me to see that as the number one thing when you look at, you know, that's, you know, a functionality that you just take for granted at this point for working on your regular desktop PC.
And if you think about it, the world didn't need cut and paste on the phone until Apple provided it.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, cut and paste was a mission-critical feature that every phone platform had to have. I'm not saying it's not useful. I totally think it is. But, I mean, let's talk about proportional responses to the same problem. I don't think that's what we're getting here.
Right. It might be a sense of, you know what, you know, well, they have it, so you don't have it, so we're just going to, you know, we're just going to yell and scream about it until you do, and then we'll find something else that you don't have.
Exactly. But I think overall, you know, it seems like the consumer and the enterprise, I guess, is better off having a bunch of compelling players in the marketplace, all checking up on each other, adding features, making their experiences tighter. You know, everybody's better off for some competition in the marketplace. So I think, you know, with iPhone, Android, BlackBerry, and now Windows Phone, we're going to really see an enhancement to the quality of the handsets and the quality of the mobile experience that people are going to get.
Right, and BlackBerry is still number one. I mean, it's the other phones have made some ground, but I would still expect BlackBerry to be number one this time next year, too.
I would think, though, at least in the enterprise space. I'm not sure about consumers, but your point is taken, absolutely.
Cool. Well, you know, definitely a lot of stuff to look forward to next year. There's also some releases I just want to mention really quick. We have basically because I'm going to be at Microsoft Management Summit next year, and that's obviously the big System Center show. And there's a whole bunch of new System Center things to talk about with System Center Virtual Machine Manager 2012, which some details have already leaked out. I don't know if you've read anything about that yet. But there's also, you know, the SCOM, SCCM, all the vNext products for System Center are on the way too. So, and then I wouldn't be surprised to hear a little bit by the end of the year about, you know, the next version of Windows Server.
Yeah, that it's still being developed in tandem with the client, and I heard rumors yesterday that the beta of the client is going to be available in September, October of next year. And of course, that's like throwing darts at a wall right now. There's no way they'll stick to any sort of committed time frame on that. But, you know, things are obviously starting to ramp up with the next version of Windows, both on the client and the server. So, you know, the latter half of 2011 is at least going to be interesting in that respect.
Very cool. Well, John, thank you very much for taking the time to talk to us. We really appreciate it.
Sure.
And I look forward to hearing more from you next year. And we have some articles on the way for searchwindowsserver.com and searchenterprisedesktop.com. So we'll be sure to check those out.
Absolutely.
All right. Have a great day. Thank you very much.
Sure. Take care.
And that concludes today's podcast. For more information on Windows Server 2008 R2, Windows 7, and all sorts of Microsoft IT technologies, be sure to check out searchwindowsserver.com and follow us on Twitter at WindowsTT. Once again, I'm Brendan Knoyer. Thank you all very much for listening. Have a great holiday season, and have a great day.